fascinating movie. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. If not, it is a really good film that's there. And so it stars Daisy Ridley, who, if you've seen any of the new Star Wars movie, she's Rey, so she kind of stars in that film. But it takes place, it's really about a woman named Trudy Ederle. And Trudy's of an immigrant family in New York City. I believe they're from Germany, and her dad's a butcher, and it's in the time of really around, she grew up in like the before the Great Depression, and then all this kind of with her swimming took place right around the Great Depression era in the 1920s. And so life was a lot different then, a little over 100 years ago. And so women weren't allowed to swim or like to learn how to swim, and so that was a big part of like her desire of wanting to be somebody who could learn how to swim. And she just got this determination over and over again that she wanted to swim more, and she ended up becoming a part of a very accomplished swimmer, and even got to the point to where she wanted to do something that no woman had ever done at that point, and honestly, very few men had ever done at that point, which was to swim the English Channel, which is to swim this 21-mile trek through treacherous waters from France to England. And so she was determined to do that against all the odds in the midst of that. And so the film grossed about $1.9 million worldwide, which you're like, that doesn't sound like a lot of money. It wasn't a lot of money, I think, because it went to streaming platform fairly quickly after that. But it got a 96% on the Rotten Tomatoes popcorn meter, okay, which is like the audience, like the folks who watched it. So people loved it, and a lot of people that I've talked to who've watched it have been pleasantly surprised with how good the film was. And so really, it's just a film about perseverance and determination. Really, you see this in Trudy's life, that she is determined to do things that people think that she cannot do. Swim, to make a swim team. She was very much encouraged by her older sister, and she had some amazing trainers along the way. People who thought she couldn't swim the English Channel, she couldn't make the Olympic team, all of these things. She just set out to prove people wrong. And so as I think about today, what we really want to focus on is this idea of perseverance, because I think we need a little bit of perseverance in our day and in our life. Now, we live in a day where everything is designed to make our lives easier, right? Like if you want to order something for lunch, all you have to do is pull up your phone and put a to-go order in, drive up and pick it up and go home. I mean, it's like things are so easy. You can buy a car and they'll ship it and they'll drop it off right at your house. Like you don't have to go talk to a human being and to make purchases like this, right? Everything is so much designed. You can do DoorDash, Amazon, all these things just to make our lives easier. Now listen, I'm not complaining about these services because I enjoy a little bit of comfort in my life. But what can end up happening is we end up not developing this muscle of grit or perseverance, right? That we struggle to do things that are hard, that are difficult, which if you know anything worthwhile in life, is going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And so if we grow up not growing and developing perseverance in our lives, as soon as things get hard, we're just gonna quit. And we don't need that, not just in life, but most certainly in our faith. Like, think about for your life, what have been some of the hard and difficult things in your life that you've gone through, right? It could be relational strain. It could just be physical things. Like, some of you have run marathons. Like, I can't believe you've actually done that, 26.2 miles. That's insane, right? Some of you have done half marathons. Some of you have given birth to children. Like, that right there probably wins all of it, okay? Because I don't know of anything harder than giving birth to kids. And also, some of you, right, your parents, you're raising children. Like, how hard and difficult that is. You've got marriages, relationships. You've got work. Like, there are hard things that you wake up and you do every single day. And we need perseverance if we want to continue to be a generation that does hard things. We want to raise up a generation that is able to do hard things. And so today, one of the themes that kind of the big idea, I guess, that I want us to focus on as we look at perseverance is that perseverance requires that your purpose is greater than your pain. Right? That, and what I mean by that is if we're going to persevere through something, right? To persevere means that you are going through something that is hard and difficult. If you are going to get through that, here's what that's going to require of us. That our purpose, the reason why we're doing it, has to be greater than the pain that we're going through. Otherwise, if it's not, what are we going to do? We're going to quit. We're going to give up. We're not going to continue to persevere. And some of you, you've experienced this. Like, I know there have been things in my life that I have quit, that I have stopped doing, right? Whether it was a workout plan, whether it was dieting, right? Whether it was certain things financial. Like, there are things that were just hard that I was like, man, I don't know that I want to keep doing this, right? Because my purpose, why I was doing it, wasn't greater than the pain of which that it was at in my life, right? But there have been things in your life that you have not gone through that you have quit. Perhaps relationships, right? Some of you, like, marriages have been quit on, right? Friendships have been quit on, right? Your jobs, you have quit jobs, right? And you've gone to something else. Why? Because the pain was greater than the purpose, right? The pain, what you were going through, the circumstances, was having a greater impact than your why, than your purpose for why you want to continue on in that relationship or in that job or whatever it may be today. And so what I want us to focus on is really, what does it look like for us to have perseverance in our faith? Because we need that if we're going to continue to follow Jesus. Because I don't know if you know this, if you've spent any time in the Bible, one of the things that you see is following Jesus is hard. And we're going to look at one man in particular, the Apostle Paul in Acts, whenever he encounters some stiff opposition, when it would have been really easy to throw in the towel and to quit. And yet, he continued on. And we've got to look at it and say, well, what was his motivation? Why would he go through that? You see, in the film, with Young Woman in the Sea, you would think of Trudy's, like, what was her purpose of which why she went through all of the things? Now, it doesn't tell us right out, but just watching it, what I would guess is Trudy, her purpose, her reason why she wanted to do something was she loved the idea of somebody saying that she can't do something, right? And that was just her fire. That was like, you say I can't swim, I'm going to show you, I can learn how to swim. Even though nobody's going to teach me, I'm going to learn how to do it. Even though I might drown, I'm going to do it. You say I can't make this team, I'm going to show you that I can make this team. Hey, you're going to tell me I can't swim that chair? I'm going to show you that it seemed like her purpose was loving to prove people wrong. See, it doesn't matter what our purpose is. You can come up with just about anything to go through something, to lose weight, to get a job, right, to work on your marriage, right? There are lots of things that you can come up with purposes for them. And if it's greater than your pain, you're going to persevere. But if in our relationship with God, in our faith, if we don't know our purpose for why we're following Jesus, it's going to get hard. We're going to experience challenges. And if our reason for why we're following, if the reason why we're doing the things that we're doing as Christians, if we don't know the purpose behind those things, we're just going to stop doing them. And what could actually end up happening is you begin to see people actually not just stop doing the things that we would do as followers of Jesus, but they walk away completely from the faith because they've lost the why behind that. And so at LifePoint, one of the ways that we try to maybe explain kind of the purpose behind why we follow Jesus is in our mission, is we want to draw life from God, and we want to point others to him. That's to God. It's really this combination of great commandment and great commission. Draw life from God means we want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? We want to love the Lord. We want to draw life from him, not from anything else, not from people or from our vocation or from relationships or from stuff. Because it will not give us life. It may momentarily, but it can't fully satisfy the longings and desires in our hearts. We need an eternal God to provide that for us. But it's not just drawing life from God, but it's also pointing others to that God who can save them and sustain them. So we want to point other people to him. That's a great commission, to go and make disciples. And so that's the way that we try to help articulate that. So let's see, as we look at the Apostle Paul, how that shows up in his life. And here's the three things that we're going to see today from Acts chapter 14. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there, you can open up there. I forgot to mention that if you are new, on the QR codes in front of you, you can scan that. It'll pull up message notes where you can follow along with the text and you can take notes. There's also a connection form that you can fill out there as well. But that way you can follow along with it. We'll also have the verses and slides on the screen to help you navigate the morning with that. But look with me in Acts chapter 14. And one of the things that's happening here is the Apostle Paul was known as Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was really determined to wipe out followers of Jesus. He hated Christians, and he loved seeing them thrown in jail and killed. And then he met Jesus, and everything about his life changed. And he became not just a persecutor of Christians, but he became a church planter who wanted to spread the message of Jesus around the world. And what happens in Acts chapter 13 is Paul and a friend, a companion of his, Barnabas, they get sent out by the church. This is what churches, this is what we want to do. We want to see where God is working in people's lives, right? And how God puts a calling on their lives, and how we as a church come around them and say, I see God's gift in you. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we want to fan into flame that gift. They saw this gift that God had put in Paul, and they said, we want to send you out. This happens here with our life groups, right? That's why we have campuses in different locations, because we see God's activity. We want to send people out to spread the message of Jesus. And so Paul and Barnabas are sent out, and they go on this first missionary journey. And Paul's really mission was to go and to take the gospel to the Gentiles, which was just a phrase and a word for non-Jews, people that didn't grow up from a Jewish background or in synagogues. And so Paul was sent out to go and spread the name of Jesus around the known world. And so one of the things is he's on his way in Acts chapter 14. One of the things we see is he lands in this community, this city called Iconia, and then he goes to Lystra. And one of the things we see about this area where Paul was is that the Romans ruled the land. So the Romans were in charge of the land. Greeks controlled the commerce. So there was a very high Greek influence in terms of Greek worship and gods. And the Jews had very little influence. In Lystra, the place that we're going to find where Paul is at, there was no Jewish synagogue, which meant there weren't enough Jewish men to have a synagogue, a place of worship. But we do know that there was one influential family that was there by the name of Timothy. You may have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, this was one of Paul's disciples, and likely they met in Lystra here. And Timothy was very much influenced by his mother and grandmother's faith. And so again, another reminder of women, the influence that you have in your children and grandchildren is huge as you follow Jesus. And so Paul here picks up and he's ministering in this place called Lystra. And one of the things that they do is they heal a man who is lame, and he stands up, and all of a sudden all these kind of pagan Greek people see this man do miraculous things, and they think Paul and Barnabas are gods. They start worshiping Paul and Barnabas. They start bowing down. They're like, we are going to worship you. You did something that we thought was impossible. You must be a god. And Paul's like, we're not gods. We're just mere human beings. And so they're pushing back against this. But God is moving and doing some incredible things, and they make their way to Lystra, and they begin to preach a mini sermon, and then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, we pick up this part where we're going to see how Paul is going to experience and encounter opposition. What we're going to see is that we need perseverance when we encounter opposition. So look with me in verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Okay, this is fascinating text. Let me pray as we dig into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that we can look back into the Bible. And God, that while we may be inspired by movies and film, we can see even greater examples, God, of perseverance and determination. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to encounter you right now as we dig into your word, that your spirit would teach us this today. The Holy Spirit, that you would help our hearts burn within us as we long to be more and more like Jesus. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So what we see here is we see Paul encountered opposition. When he encountered opposition, he needed perseverance to live out God's calling on his life. You see, if we remember from the text there, we saw that these Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. They was likely somewhere between 100 miles from where they were in Iconium to where he was in Lystra. And every step of the way, Jews would hear about what Paul was doing, right? Remember, Paul was a Jew, and so he hated what Christians were doing. So there were people still against the ministry and the mission of Jesus and his followers. And so they would hear about this, and they would go from that town. They would pick up more people that were like hearing about what was happening. They wanted to go and put a stop to it. And they show up to Lystra, where Paul is, and now they get all of these Gentiles, right? All these other people in the crowd, and they get this mob mentality, right? They start stirring up and getting people against Paul, and there's so much so that they get them to the point to where they stone Paul, which was literally what it sounds like. They would grab rocks, right, and they would throw them at an individual in an attempt to kill them, right, because they are doing things that they would believe are against what their Bible teaches. But we see that Paul is just fulfilling what Jesus has called him to do, to go make disciples of all nations. And yet he's experiencing this opposition. And what I think that, when I think about that for you and me, is sometimes we feel like as we follow after Jesus, when we start to experience some opposition, whether it's from family, whether it's from friends, from coworkers, from social media, from the world at large, when we start experiencing any sort of opposition, we can start to shrink back and not continue on because we're afraid of what our friends think about us, what other people think about us, that we don't want to be maligned or miscalled or mistreated. And so we can let the opinions of others start to shape whether or not we're actually going to go through and follow after Jesus faithfully, right? To live out God's calling on our lives, right? To walk obediently to the scriptures. It means we're going to do sex differently. It means we're going to do relationships differently. It means we're going to do finances differently. It means the way that we think about our time is going to be different. And so we're going to see people around us who aren't following that look at us and say, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? And as soon as we start to feel like, man, I don't know if this is worth it, we're just not going to persevere in it. But you see, Paul is showing us here that we need perseverance, especially when we start to encounter opposition. And you got to think about what was it that these Jews were so upset about? Why were they so angry with what Paul was saying? Think about this. If they are preaching, right, a certain set of rules and regulations, and then here's Paul out here saying, you don't need all of those things. Jesus came to fulfill all of those rules and regulations. All of a sudden, the influence, and the prestige of these Jewish leaders is now fading away. And as they lose influence, they want to protect that. And so they're going to try to take out the man who's doing it. You'll hear in Acts, if you keep reading on, when they get to a place in Ephesus where they start preaching the gospel and lives start being transformed, that all of a sudden the idol makers all of a sudden are out of a job. The entire city is losing their economic growth because people aren't going there. It would be like people stop going to strip clubs and stop going to and consuming alcohol or buying drugs or betting on sports or doing all of these things that are taking and robbing away from us. We start to see that we're living our lives surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, and all of a sudden, things are impacted. Industries are impacted because we're not going to those things anymore. And you would think people who are making money off of this now, they're getting angry and they're upset and they want to put an end to it. And so when we follow Jesus, we are going to experience opposition like Jesus and his followers experienced. That's why I think when we read this, we shouldn't be surprised when we experience resistance. One of the ways I like to think about it is don't be surprised when you try to push back darkness, that darkness is going to push right back on you. You see, because Jesus suffered and died, when we follow in him, we should not be surprised when we suffer like Jesus as well. And there have been people who have experienced suffering and have died for their faith, right? Because following Jesus means that we will suffer like Jesus. See, here's what I know about suffering and pain for all of us. We're either going through it right now, right? Like you're going through it, like it's hard. Your faith is being tested. Or you've just come out of, you're recovering from pain. You just walk through some really hard things that tested your faith. Or you're getting ready to enter into it yourself. You're not there, but it's right out in front of you. We're all going to, if we follow Jesus, we are going to suffer like Jesus did. Paul, in sharing these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, and speaking to him, he says, You, however, Timothy, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith and my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. He's reminding Timothy of the suffering that he went through, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He doesn't want us to be surprised. God does not want you and I to be surprised that if you want to live this life following after Jesus, you're going to encounter opposition. It's going to happen regardless. We're going to encounter it, which is why we need perseverance to continue on in it. And so I just want to ask you, maybe for you to reflect for a moment, where is it that you are encountering opposition in your life? Where do you feel resistance in your life? When it comes to your faith, it could be in your marriage, it could be in your parenting, it could be at work. It could be, man, I'm feeling all these temptations from the things of this world that I'm having a hard time really digging in and following after the Lord. We were talking in our men's group this past week as we looked at in Luke kind of the parable of the soils. And we kind of see like one of the soils that Jesus mentions is the one that grows up, but the cares of this life begin to come and beat on the growth, and it ends up fading away. And so we can be caught up with the things of this world that we get so distracted from it that we aren't actually cultivating a life pursuing and walking with Jesus. So where are you encountering opposition in your life, in your faith, in your relationships? Because with that, we need to see how can we begin to develop this muscle of perseverance, which is where we move next. And Paul shows us that we begin to see perseverance when we exhibit determination. So let's see how Paul exhibits determination here. Look with me in verse 20. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up, he entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. This is incredible. So I don't want us to miss this. So they took stones, they stoned Paul, they drug him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Now, what kind of shape does somebody have to be in that you look at them and say, he dead, right? Like, he's not moving. He's bloodied, beaten up. They suppose he's dead. The disciples, you know, his followers, those that were following Jesus, like they had come out there. They were likely thinking, okay, how do we get Paul, and how do we share the news, and how do we begin to bear? And they see and discover he's not dead. It's like, you know, I think of Monty Python, the Holy Grail, right? He was just mostly dead. He wasn't all the way dead. You know, if you've seen that movie, you know what I'm talking about. But they get Paul, and what does he do? He gets up, and he walks right back into the city that sat to stone him and to kill him. Like, look at that resolve. You see in him his life, his perseverance. You see on display his faith. Right? He enters right back into this city to the people that sought to stone him. He recovers, and then the next day he's like, I got work to do. And he travels on to the next city, which was likely 30 to 60 miles away. Right? You see his determination, right? You see what he's about. You see that Paul knows that his purpose, what he is doing, is bigger than the pain that he's walking through, than being stoned, than being beaten, than being persecuted. He knows, I've got to get people to hear about this Jesus who has transformed my life. I'm going to do whatever I can so as many people can hear about this message. Until God is finished with me and he takes me back home while I'm here on earth, I got work to do for his kingdom, for his mission. Paul's purpose was bigger and greater than the pain he was going through. I don't know about you, when I see that, I'm like, I want to live with that kind of purpose in my life, right? I want to live with that kind of determination that whatever I'm going through, that I can go back and lean on something that is bigger and greater than myself, than what God has called me to do, that whatever I'm going through, I can walk through it and go through it. We need that. And I think, imagine what the disciples, and this is where I say we see his perseverance, right? Because our actions speak louder than our words. Right, they have heard Paul communicate and talk about his faith. But now they saw it in his life. They saw how committed Paul was to his Savior. Anybody had an excuse to say, guys, I'm going to take a sabbatical here. I'm going to go home. I'm going to recover. I'm never coming back to this place again. I think Paul's got an excuse to do that, right? But yet Paul is saying, he is committed to the cause of Christ, no matter what it's costing him. And I think what the disciples saw in his faith and in his life, they saw somebody, they saw the Spirit of God working in them, and I imagine that it inspired them to continue on in the work, right? It's why when we watch a movie like Young Woman of the Sea, we see somebody that's doing something incredible, and we get inspired and motivated by that. You know, like it moves us. Like when we see somebody going through and committing to something so hard and difficult and they make their way through, we find some inspiration from that. But what greater inspiration can we have than helping people to have their sins forgiven forever, to move from spiritual death to spiritual life, to have an eternity in front of them forever with God? Like, how amazing is that? What kind of purpose we can have, right, to bring God's kingdom here on earth, to keep pushing and pushing back darkness so that God's incredible light can transform people's lives. See, our actions will speak louder than our words. That whatever you testify and whatever you say, right, but if your life and your actions don't back it up, people are going to see that and it's just going to be meaningless. But yet, if you're professing, if you're saying, man, I'm walking with you, I'm pursuing Jesus as imperfectly as I am, and they see that in your life, that'll speak louder, way louder than anything that you have to say. The life that you live, right? It will speak to your faith. And so I just want to ask you before I move to our next point here, is what is your life saying about your faith? Like, what is your life? What is your life communicating? How you are living your life? What is it communicating about what you believe about Jesus? About what you believe about God? Like, if I'm honest and I look at my life, man, there are things where I'm like, I got to shore up some areas in my life that I don't love the way that it's lining up. Like, I can get a little undisciplined in my life when it comes to reading my Bible, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to sharing my faith, right? I can let my, man, I can get comfortable. Like, I know for me, like, I want all of my life, right, I want to be as little of a gap between what I say and how I live. There's always going to be a little bit of gap because we are sinners, we are imperfect, God is working on us, but man, if we can shrink that gap to as little as possible, right, that's, I think, is the goal of what God is doing and refining in us. But we've got to be aware, and it's got to be kind of a warning light for our lives. When all of a sudden we look at what we're saying about God, what we're coming here at church, testifying, or saying to other people, and then we look at our life, and we would say, whoo, that's a big gap between what I'm saying than how I'm actually living. When you're by yourself, when you're alone, what is your life communicating about your faith? Like some real practical things for some of us here is, like you've been coming here for a while, which is, we love that, but you haven't plugged into a life group yet. Or you haven't stepped on a serving team yet, right? Like there are opportunities in front of you that you can use your gifts, that you can make an impact. And we would say, yeah, I know community is important, but I just am too busy right now. Or you know what, I know that there are some things that I could offer that would help, right, minister to people around me, but man, I'm too busy right now. I don't have time, I don't have space, I don't know what to do, right? And so there's an opportunity that we have, that you have, right, to reflect our life and what we say, and we can try to line those up together, make a real impact together, make more of an impact together. So just a great opportunity. Next Sunday, we're having Life Team Orientation. If you aren't serving anywhere, this would be a great class just to come to learn about it. You don't have to sign up for anything, but just to learn. We'll look at some spiritual gifts and how God has used you and just ways that you can be involved here. And if this is your first time here, you've been coming, you're new, like we're not saying you need to jump in, right? But for some of us here, we've been coming for a while, and yet we haven't taken that step yet to get more involved. And I would say we would want more of your life to line up, right? Because your attendance is saying something, right? And so how do we help communicate that and let what we say and how we live be as close together as possible? What is your life saying about your faith? There's one scene that I want us to see that I think really was kind of influential in the film. I was about to pass it here, but it's the jellyfish scene. And so if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. But as she's swimming, Trudy is going through here, right? They get up ahead and they see that there is a field of jellyfish. And she can't go around it. She's going to have to swim right on through it. And we kind of see in this moment, they got to let her know about it. And she's got to make up in her mind whether she's going to go through it or not. I think what we see from her, and I think as you watch this, just see what this communicates about her passion and her perseverance and how determined she is. Watch this clip for just a moment. So obviously, she makes her way through there. But when I watch that, you just see how determined she is to keep going, right? And how inspiring I think that is. And sometimes I think for us, as we're following Jesus, right, as we continue to persevere, when we're exhibiting determination, as we're encountering opposition and difficulty, and yet we stay steadfast and committed to the cause of Christ, reading our Bible, sharing our faith, plugging in, committing to all of those things, right? That makes an impact in those around you. They see that you really do believe what you're saying because your life is proving that to be true. I love that about that our faith is not just something that is meant to be held private, right? But as we live it out, others see it through us and give glory to God. That's what Jesus told his disciples, right? That they would shine as a city on a hill, that they would see your good deeds. They would see your life and how you live. And what would they do? They would give glory to God. And so, yes, as you work through and you persevere, yes, it grows your own faith, but it also says something to those around you, to your family, to your spouse, to your friends, to your coworkers, that as you are committing to following Jesus and they see your life and your faith, God uses that to work in them too. God motivates them in the midst of that, which is where we see our last thing, is that we gain perseverance when we endure tribulation. So let's look at how Paul endures tribulations here. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel, so remember, Paul had moved on, right? He had stood up after being stoned and headed back to that city, and then they moved on to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city, they had made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. See, Paul is telling the disciples there that if you want to continue on, as they're going and they are sharing the gospel, disciples are being made, lives are being transformed, they're returning back to where they have been, they're strengthening the disciples again who maybe are getting discouraged and experiencing opposition. And he tells them that we need to continue in the faith, we need to persevere. That if we want to enter the kingdom of God, it is through many tribulations. Paul reminds Christians that they need endurance to finish the race. right? It's a race that we are in, and it's going to be hard. You're going to experience opposition. It's going to be challenging. But Paul is saying to continue on, to persevere, you're going to have to go and endure tribulations, difficulties, distress, and hardships. That you're not going to get to the finish line without having to walk through some hardships along the way. Right? That we get to the finish line with a limp. If you finish the race, finish the marathon, you see those racers, they get there, they are exhausted, they are depleted. Nobody finishes and is like, whoo, I'm feeling great. I can do another 26 miles, right? Like it wears on them. And so how do we endure and get to the ends? And one of the things that I see from this is how do we endure tribulations is we don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. You see, Paul, he's not traveling by himself. He's got disciples along with him. And he goes back to the places knowing that they're discouraged to encourage them in their faith. That friends, we need encouragement in our lives if we're going to endure. We need men and women praying for us, challenging us, encouraging us, reminding us, holding us accountable, inspiring us, modeling for us. We need one another if we're going to endure. If you've ever seen, if your kids do cross country, if you see long distance runners, right? What do they normally like to do? They run in packs, right? They run, they have people setting the pace, but they're there encouraging one another, challenging one, like being with one another. It is so hard when you run by yourself, but when you're running with others, right, there is life with you. You feel like you've got momentum alongside you. When you're training with other people, the Christian life is not meant to be a lone ranger walk. We're not meant to do it alone. But to have people in our lives, that's why our life groups are so essential to what we do here. To put people in your life to encourage you and surround you and to walk with you in the good and in the bad and in the hard. Paul is showing us that endurance, right, to endure. Because the Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not a sprint. Some people start off strong and great, and they crash and burn. Right? It is a marathon. Right? So some of you feel like, man, my start has not been very great. Well, the good news is we've got a long road ahead of you of faithfulness. Eugene Peterson used to say, former pastor, that this idea of this long obedience in the same direction. That it's just continuing one day at a time, one step at a time. What's the next right thing, Lord, that you're calling me to do? And just being faithful in that one day at a time, one day at a time, one decision at a time. What's the next right thing to do? As we endure and go through difficulty and hardship, how do we do so in a way that we're trusting the Lord? And so I just want to ask you, who's encouraging you to persevere in your faith? Who's in your corner? Like Trudy on the boat, she's got a coach, she's got her sister, she's got her, they're there encouraging her, warning her what's ahead. Who do you have in your life encouraging you to keep persevering? Who do you have in your life to do that? We would love, if you're saying, man, I don't know that I've got very many in my life. We would love to help surround you with more people to do that. Just let us know after service. Right? Our next step, just say, hey, I'm interested in a life group. I need some more people in my life. Or perhaps this week when you gather as a life group, just say, hey, guys, I need some more encouragement to persevere in my life. And maybe talk to somebody, talk to some people, some couples, some friends, and just say, hey, can you help me? I just need some more encouragement in my life. Right? We want to provide that. We want to be a church where no one walks alone. And we need one another to persevere in this fight. And so how the story ends, and this is how I just want to finish up. There's this moment at the end where she's got to finish the last leg of this swim. And she gets to the point where the last 5 miles, it's dark, it's nighttime, and it's too foggy. And the boat, nobody can go along with her because if you can't see her, you don't want to accidentally run over, right? So they can't proceed forward. So she's going to have to swim the last 5 miles in the darkness all by herself. I don't know if you've ever been outside when it's dark or in the water and you see, like, how do you know which way to go? Then there's this moment where she wants to give up. You just see it. She stops. She's frustrated. She doesn't know if she can go on. She wants to quit. It's been hard. It's been difficult. And you've been there, right? Moments where you wanted to quit on your marriage, on your friendships, right? On your parenting with your kid. You're just like, I don't know what else to do. Your job, like, you're ready to quit. Then all of a sudden, on the shores, she's got people that are cheering her on. And you know what they do? They go and they light these massive bonfires all along the beach. And if you know anything about when it's dark outside and you see these bonfires light up, all of a sudden now she sees them. She knows where to go. And it just makes me think in that moment, I'm like, that's Jesus, right? Coming into the darkness, bringing light. John 8:12, right? If anyone, I am the light of the world. If anyone would follow me, they would not walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. And that light guides her home, and she finishes that race. And so just as we finish here today, I just want to say, if you're walking through it and it's hard and you feel like you're in the darkness, the great hope that you and I have is that we've got Jesus, the light of life, who is there guiding us, who is with us, that you can trust in, who will walk with you through anything, who will bring his people around us to help us to persevere. His Holy Spirit, right? What God started in you, he will finish it through to completion, friends. That's why we trust in Jesus. That's why he helps us every step of the way. So would you just close your eyes and bow your heads with me? I just want to pray for us as we respond to this. God, as I think about where we're at in the room, whether we're in the midst of, man, it's hard right now. And we want to give up. We want to give up on, I don't know, God, if it's our marriage, if it's, they don't know what to do with their kids, or work is just, they just don't know what to do. Just at a loss. feel like they're in the darkness right now. And I pray that maybe this is that moment where they just see your light come right into the picture. And Jesus, that's why you came into the world, was so that we would not have to walk in darkness, so that we would not have to finish on our own, but that we would have the light of life come inside of us, to light a fire in our hearts, to guide us every step of the way, to bring a collection of people together in the same way a bonfire is a collection of wood burning bright together. The more wood you add to the fire, the bigger and brighter the fire is. That's what we get to be as the church. Coming together as your people, burning bright for Jesus, being a light post to the nations and to our community. And God, all that you would require of us to have that light in us is to surrender our lives to you. And maybe that's a step someone needs to take here today, is to say, I've been trying to go through it on my own. The pain has been greater, or the purpose has not been you, God. I want you to be the purpose of my life. I want to draw life from you, and I want to point others to him. That you would just surrender your life and say, Jesus, I need you to save me, to put your light inside of me, to help me, God, to go through the hardships of life, not by myself, but with you and with your people. It's called surrender. And if you're here today and you know, as a follower of Jesus, you know that you have Christ in your life, but it's just been hard. And maybe you would just say, and I just want to pray over you right now, that God, you would just give and remind us of the hope that we have in Christ, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're encountering, the opposition, the challenges, that because of your Spirit in us, God, that we can not just go through it, but we can grow through it, God, together. I pray that you would encourage these weary saints. Jesus, you say, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. Peace and rest sound really good right now for the weary soul. And that is what you offer, Jesus, to your people. Thank you, God, that you do not leave us by ourselves, but you walk with us through every step of the way. We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.